Okay. Yeah, so the Gemara says what? The Gemara says it's a mitzvah on Yichal Pesach Beis HaMechut. So what does that mean? Right, right. So what does mitzvah mean?
Must do it.
Okay, so one second. So what Gabriel's suggesting mitzvah means you must do it, which implies that?
Is that for you?
Not more than that. What's this chiv talking about? What?
It's a to-do.
No, with that we know. But in other words, when it says mitzvah l'anichal pesach beis mechutz, it implies what?
That's the only way you can fulfill
it. Bingo. You could learn that it means that the only place to put it is in front of your house, or you could learn, what's the other way to learn mitzvah? What's the other way to learn it? Say it again. Mitzvah in a mufkar. Like the ideal way to do it, it buzzed twice. Is that okay? Oh, okay. That the ideal way to do it is to light it outside. If you just said the lashon of the Gemara, it's unclear if that's true. Which one it is. It could be it's ma'akev, or it could be that it's mitzvah in a mufkar. So we don't know. So then the Gemara says, "Ima yadar be'aliyah." Okay, so if you live where?
Like in a high elevated place.
In an attic, let's say upstairs. So what do you do?
You should put it in the window that faces out towards Rosh Hashanah.
So that, without looking at Rashi, I've asked you, why would you put it in the window facing Rosh Hashanah? Why would you put it in the window facing Rosh Hashanah? What? Right, Pursu Menisa. Okay, so take a look at Rashi. Mibachutz.
Mishim Pursu Menisa.
All right, so this is an interesting issue itself, but what are the logistics that Rashi's talking about? What does he mean when he says put it in front of your house, but not at the front of the chatzah? What does he mean by that? What? Right, in other words, so you have your house, right, and imagine you have a bunch of houses all next to each other, and they all share one large chatzah. Let's assume that chatzah has an opening to the Rosh Hashanah. So where do you put your Ner Chanukah? You put it in front of your house, right? Not
in the front of the court.
Okay, good, okay. Right, is that clear? All right, and again, what are you accomplishing by lighting outside? Pursuma Nisa, okay? And when you light by the window upstairs, what are you accomplishing? Pursuma Nisa. We're going to use those words how many times tonight? Hundreds, thousands. Pursuma Nisa, okay. All right, now go to what's the next line in the Gemara? The Gemara then says... Okay, now what's Shas Sakana? Rashi. Okay. So what does that mean?
That back in the times of the Persians, when they had like their day of like doing avodah zarah, they would only light these.
That's a great, right? It's a fun day. Yeah.
I love
a
day.
We don't want to say that too loud, but yeah, it's fine. Yeah. What would they do?
So they would light these candles in service of the avodah zarah.
So what can't we do then?
So we can't be performing mitzvahs that weren't avodah
zarah. No, we can. So if we start lighting candles outside, what's going to happen?
They're performing avodah zarah.
Yeah. So therefore, what does the Gemara say? Where do we put the candles?
Inside.
Okay. So what's odd about this? Forget that. I don't care about the historical backdrop. That's for someone else to talk about. What I want to know is halachically speaking, what's bizarre about the statement? If v'shas sakana menichal shulchan avodah, there's a problem there. What problem is there? Momo.
The fact that first of all, I think it says that you should put it by the window.
Okay.
Now, if you're in danger because you're putting it outside, putting it by the window where they can see it is just...
No, but now it's saying that what do you do if you're in danger? You put it inside on your dining room table, close your windows, close your doors, no one can see, no one's going to find out.
There's no.
Okay, good. Okay. Who agrees with that? Okay. Why are you shaking? You don't know what Tosa says yet. Why are you going like this?
Because there is somewhat Pursuma Nisa for the household.
Okay, so Alex wants to say there's Pursuma Nisa for the household, right? Who agrees with that? Okay. But let me ask you a question. So now, can I ask you just some question? Is the idea of Pursuma Nisa for the household a natural idea? Meaning?
Probably not.
No, because I'll tell you why. Because if that were true, then it wouldn't have to say Shas Sakana, you light inside. It would have said, B'di'eved, right, B'di'eved, if you want to light inside, it'd be Yotze. Right, sounds like, what does Shas Sakana seem to be teaching us? That there's some type of... Well, there's some sort of switch taking place here that during times of danger, they carved out another method to be Yotze the Mitzvah. But if it wasn't Shas Sakana, and this is the key point, if it's not Shas Sakana, are you Yotze if you light inside?
No.
What would you deduce at this point? It seemed like not, right? It seemed like You're only allowed to make use of lighting inside when it's not shasakana. But what's the halachic mechanism? What are they doing here by saying lighting inside works? Because it sounds like from the Gemara, the only place to light is outside. And that's where Pesumanis is located. Who said anything about lighting inside for your household? Right? So far, so good? Any problems with that? You good over there, Pinsky? You good? Okay, good. Okay. All right, that means I'm doing well. Okay. So now what does Tosva say? Tosva says what? Okay. So Tosos learns differently than Rashi. What does Tosos say? Tosos says, it's not about, again, let's look at our case. Imagine we have six houses next to each other, right? You have a little porch in front of all your houses, tied to a courtyard with an open gate that faces outside, which, by the way, in Eretz Yisrael, happens quite a lot. You'd be surprised. Eretz Yisrael has a lot of... I think I told you guys, I used to live in an apartment complex that literally mimicked this idea of like chatzer and open to Rosh Hashanah. It exists here. So what's Tosos saying that's different? What's Tosos saying that's different? How's he... Yeah? Okay, no, okay. One way he's saying... The easy way to learn the Gemara is to say that if my house faces the Rosh Hashanah, where do I light? Right, so imagine my house is right next to the Van Wyck. So where would I light? Right there. But... Let's say my house is in a larger chatzer, where would I light?
According to Tosfos, you light by the entrance of the chatzer.
Entrance of the chatzer.
Not by the entrance to your...
Correct. Okay. So where's the difference between Tosfos and Rashi? What's the point?
Where in the chatzer you light?
Right. So do you light
by the entrance to your house? Or good. The entrance to the courtyard.
Right. Meaning in front of your house. Okay. So this isn't critical to understand this. So yeah, Tosfos side is critical, but I'm just curious. Like, what side makes more sense? If you had a choice in front of you, who would you line up like? Rashi or Tosfos?
Tosfos.
You're pretty quiet. Yeah. What? Why Tosfos? What? Okay. So can you formulate into that like a concept? So what's Tosfos' concept of Pirsuma Nisa? Obviously, there's...
People other than your neighbors are seeing it.
Well, that's true. That's what you're doing, right? That's what you're doing. So what... What? Right, so therefore, what's his, and what is, what's bothering, let me ask you this, what's bothering Rashi about Tosfos' position, so to speak? Why is Rashi with Dafka say, there is one Rishon who learns that they're not really arguing, but I don't want to take that up. The simple way to learn is that, the simple way to learn is that Rashi's arguing on Tosfos, that's the simple way to learn. But what's Rashi, but my question is that Rashi's arguing on Tosfos, and everyone's jumping on Tosfos is making the most sense. We have to, why would Rashi insist that you should light Pesach Beis? What's bothering Rashi about putting it at the front of the chatzer?
Well,
yes, John.
Is the chatzer completely yours, or is it like...
Let's say it's shared.
If it was shared, then it would be more so. I'd say that then it's not necessarily turning it on you. Because now it appears to those. Now you're just someone in this building, in this, but it's shared, and it's not necessarily who is in the court.
Okay, who agrees with John?
Yeah, I was going to say something.
Okay. What? Okay. All right. So what's the machlokas? I'm just curious. Like, what would you guys say? Tosos is saying, never start with how far. That's always dangerous. It's always dangerous. I'm sorry. It's always dangerous to quantify. You don't want to be too quantitative.
Tosos is saying that the pursuing Issa effect is more important than showing it's yours. And Rashi's saying that no, you can show it's yours. It takes a little bit.
Okay. That's not bad. I hear that. Okay. Who agrees with what Momo's saying? Well, where does that come from? Where does Rashi's idea come from?
The fact that you're supposed to be outside your door.
No, I know. You're right. I know, but you're right. The Gemara beforehand, though, tells us what? I know it's a missing fact, but the Gemara beforehand tells us what? Yeah. Right. So there's an Amitza that's called Ner Ishu Beso, right? So maybe Rashi would argue and say there's a problem. There's, if you put it in the front of the chatzer, what's the problem going to be? It's not nicker that it's neri shabeso. It's just stama candle lit. Whereas Tosos would say, what is Tosos? And this is the key thing. This is what I care about. What's Tosos focusing on? Tosos cares only about one thing. Right? Maximizing Pirsuma Nisa. That's Tosos's entire approach. Maximizing Pirsuma Nisa. Hold on. So Tosos holds maximizing. That's all you need to know for Tosos for now. But if Tosos holds maximizing Pirsuma Nisa, right? So then why would Shasakana work? What's Tosos' idea behind Shasakana? Why does Shasakana, why does it work? I mean, if you look at the next Tosfos in number three, Tosfos says, I'm sorry, I'll just read this quickly. Uluri nira daita ein lachosh matai yadlik. He doesn't care what time you light. Why? The anu ein lanu hekera elav ne'abai yishrei malikim ifnim. Because now, what do? We light inside. So does it matter if you light at exactly at Shkia? No, we only care about lighting for the people inside your house, right? So how does that fit into Tosfos' idea? What's Tosfos saying? What is it? Why does it work? If Tosfos is saying the whole concept is to maximize your pirsum, how does it work to light inside your house? And don't just say because you're maximizing your pirsum. What's he saying? That's the easy thing to say.
Because that's the maximum number of people you can show that to, say.
Right, but I could argue and say that pirsum doesn't exist there. Who says pirsum can exist inside your house?
You're still showing it to your kids.
Yeah, but
why is that pirsum? If it was set up as pirsum, if pirsum was set up for outside, you can't just say now it's inside. But if that were true, then it won't be Shasakana. Then you would say, I mean, Yotze Bidyev if I light inside.
Who says that you wouldn't?
The Gemara. It wouldn't have to say Shasakana.
If
Shasakana, let's pretend there was never Shasakana, right? Okay. You would not be Yotze, you're near Chanuk if you lit inside. You wouldn't be. And I'm not saying this is off the record. You could even argue in Eretz Yisrael, it's a hard argument to make that people should be lighting inside. It's tough because we're not in Shasakan anymore. You know what I mean? Yes, Binyamin.
He holds that the Iker Pursuma Nisa is for public, but he still holds that there's Pursuma Nisa for people inside the house.
But if that were, okay, but that were true, I mean, that's good, but you just added the word Iker, right?
Yeah.
Which is good, but the problem is if you just say that, but then I could still argue the Gemara should have said, you go to him with the Evan if you light inside, right? That's what you got to take one step just to clarify what he's saying. Yeah.
But how can you be a problem pursuing mitzvah to your kids if they're really yotzei your mitzvah anyway?
That's a different question. Hold on to that. We'll talk about the Rav's position. We'll get to that. Yeah. That's also true. You're right. It's pursuing for yourself too. So what do you say? Yes.
Maybe in fact there's a mitzvah that luck is nearest itself. Isn't itself like an aspect of pursuing?
Maybe. I don't know if that's what Tosfos is saying. Could be.
I'm just saying that, like, the fact there's a mitzvah, I mean, everyone would know that there's a new mitzvah now. It's like pretty publicizing.
Right, what do you mean everyone would know it's a new mitzvah?
I say if you establish a new mitzvah because of a miracle,
right,
that you establish a mitzvah itself is publicizing. So even though you're not able to show it as much as we would want, and when you can't,
based on what you're saying, are you suggesting that, is it a different piercing inside your house? Or is it the same idea of piercing?
A different piercing.
It's a different piercing.
Yeah.
Right? So you're saying that there's an outside piercing, which is one phenomenon, and an inside piercing is a different phenomenon. Okay? So, okay. What?
No,
no yes, Mama.
I was just thinking maybe it's different levels, like there's Mahajan and there's Mahajan.
But then the Gemara should have said Shasakana. Should have just said, you Yotze B'dieved. Shasakana is telling you that something new comes into existence because of the fact that it's a time of danger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think what Ellie's saying is good. What? Anyone else? What else? Josh? No? Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. No? No one else? What?
I'm just thinking, that's all.
Oh, okay. You got that smile on your face, though. Like. I don't know. Oh, a very chashuv a soldier. Is he watching this? So what do you say? No, so maybe you could say. I mean, the question is that when we say pirsum exists outside, okay? So maybe you could argue that they set up that there's two mekomos that exist for. I think all along there's always two mekomos that exist for pirsum, right? There's a public makom and a private makom. I agree, Ali. There's two different pirsums. A private pirsum is different than a public pirsum, but I think it's different than the makom. What's a public pirsum makom anywhere outside your house? So therefore, Tosfos will say you want to maximize that. But what I would say is that it's only, so therefore, as long as the public makom exists, there's only one place you could possibly light.
In the public makom.
But what does Shasakana do? What does it do?
It removes the public makom.
So now all you have to maximize pirsum is your private makom. You understand? In other words, it is a different quality of pirsum. We can go into what the nature of that, I don't know, that's not, That might be a different thing. But the point, though, is that I'm just saying on a very simple level, you can argue that Chazal set up that there's two mekomos of pirsum. There's a makom, a public pirsum and private pirsum, right? So therefore, as long as the public exists, that's the only place you can light. But once you take that away, shasakana means there's no place anymore for public lighting.
Why does the public makom take precedence over the private?
Because that's because you always have to maximize your pirsum nace. That's his formula. Maximize pirsum nace. Therefore, I can see two mekomos emerging as a result. Okay, but that's not that critical. It's only critical for this. Okay, only because of time-wise. Yeah.
My dad.
Oh, yeah, what?
He wrote during Sakana, it's a different halakha.
Yeah, what does that mean, it's a different halakha? What does that mean, it's a different halakha?
I'm not sure.
Is he asking or is he saying?
There's no question mark.
Okay. But let me tell you, there's another svar you could say, though. And this other svar, I think, is critical. This is what Tosas is saying. There's another svar you could say, which is not my svar, it's the Rav svar, which I also can go a long way, but if you think about it, I want to see if you guys can appreciate the consequence of what he's saying and apply it to here. The Rav holds no. The Rav says that when Chazal set up the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, okay, the Rav likes doing this kind of thing, there's two fulfillments that exist. One Maisa, two fulfillments, okay? One idea is that I have a chiyuv, right? No, it's different than Achsanai. There's a chiyuv to do an action of lighting, okay? I must do an action of lighting a candle, okay? And there's another, that's one kiyum or whatever. There's another idea that what do I have to do? I have to create an object of pirsum, okay? But those are two separate phenomena. So the Rav holds differently than Tosfos. The Rav is going to say that during Shas Sakana, right, why do I light inside? Because even though there is no vehicle for pirsum anymore, there is no pirsum. According to the Rav, if you hold that way, says in Harik Edom, there's no pirsum inside. Right, but that doesn't mean I still don't have a chiyuv of halakha. Okay, so what's the machlokas? Do we say that pirsum always exists? It's a different type of pirsum because the nature of the makom, therefore you have the light inside. Or do you say no? Do you say that there is no pirsum inside? Rather, what? I have a chiyuv to light no matter what. All right. Obviously, ideally, I want my lighting should produce an entity of pirsum. But if I can't light outside, there is no mechanism for pirsum anymore. So what am I left with? Lighting inside, doing a maisa halakha. Okay, that's all I have. So you understand that difference? There's a difference between saying that my Ner Chanukah can still function in some capacity as pirsum versus saying that there's no pirsum inside, but I have a chiyuv halakha. I still have the light. I have to do a technical action of lighting a candle. That's one fulfillment on the mitzvah. Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's a little bit different than what he says by, I know. I thought of that when I saw that, but okay. If you keep that in mind, that's what, in my opinion, that's what you need to know to understand if there's any rationale for this idea of lighting Ner Chanukah in shul. Why is it a problem lighting Ner Chanukah in shul? Before you looked inside, why would it be a problem? That's the first thing that should strike you is when you see the fact that people light Ner Chanukah in shul, you should stand up and say, stop! Why? What? Okay. Oh, don't get fancy yet. Don't worry about applying the svarah. Just forget the svarah for a second. Just practically speaking. What? Right. There's no bai. Ner ish ubeso. How can you possibly light a menorah in shul? So one person sitting here right now would say, you're right. You should never light your Hanukkah in shul, right? There's nothing else to say. And by the way, if you look at source number 7, that's what the Shiboli Leket, who long, long, long time ago, he says, v'gam anu nogin lahadik beis knesses. So we're talking about late Gaonim, early Rishonim. This minhag came about where people started lighting Ner Chanukah in shul. And he says there's no source for such a thing. Why is there no source for such a thing? I mean, the Gemara never mentions it. And it's a serious problem. There's no bias to speak of. So now what do you do? Okay, so if you're a Kanai, you know what you do? You say, I will not participate in this shul anymore if they light Ner Chanukah in shul. Right? Or maybe one of another person sitting here might take a bucket of water and extinguish the flames. But as you'll see, using either the Rav or Tosos' idea, you'll see that there is an actual rationale for why lighting Ner Chanukah in shul can make sense. Okay, but you got to be a little creative. And this is why, when you study a minhag like this, if you see the creativity involved in understanding how halakhically, there's almost a natural expression for this, to me it's like a wonderful thing. So look at the Rivash. The Rivash is asked the question, in number 8, he's asked, what's this minhag, right? What's this idea of lighting Ner Chanukah in shul? So look what he says. He says, He says tshuva. Haminag hazeh lahadik beis kineses minag vatikinhu mishum pesumanisa. Okay, this minag goes back a long way. All right, and why do you light it? Because of pesumanisa. Now he says kevan she'ein anachni yichol mekayim a mitzvah ketakana. Okay, since we're unable to do what? No.
You're unable to fulfill the mitzvah as it was originally established.
So since we're unable to fulfill Ner Chanukah the way it was established, right? Kol echa beveso shehi lahanicha pesach beso mimachutz. We are unable today, let's say America, you're unable, or England, you're unable to, sorry, I apologize. You're unable to fulfill the mitzvah in its ideal format. Again, acknowledging that the piersum you're doing, let's assume it is piersum inside, is never the same quality as outside, okay? So what's the Rivash saying? He's saying that's where Ner Chanukah and Shul, it fills in a void, okay? And he says, and if you look at the underlying part says, he says, V'ein kan pirsum nisa ki'im l'dei bayis beis levad. Since piersum is only limited to your private area, what can Shul do? What can Lai Ner Chanukah and Shul do? What? More than that, what's it doing? Better. What kind of piersum? A public piersum. In other words, we found a mechanism to create a makom, a public piersum, shul. But if that's true, what would you always require in shul to be able to pull that off? What?
No.
That's a good question. It's a good question. According to Rivash, you're right. That's a good question. Josh, you make a good point. According to Rivash, it's a good question of Eretz Yisrael. If you don't live in Shasakana anymore, why should I Ner Chanukah in shul? Good question. Okay, but let's assume it is Shasakana. Okay? Because you don't want to give it to your Minhagim. Let's say it is Shasakana, right? No, so what would you need? If you're going to tell me that it's a din in a public makom, think about it. How would you always know? It's not just a what do you need there in the makom to give it the sense of being public? No. Because it's not outside. How many people?
Ten.
A minion, a tzibur. In other words, because tzibur means it's public. Gives it a sense of being public. So you could argue, and I didn't make that up. So you could argue that the idea is that according to Rivash is a very interesting concept. He wants to say that the lighting we do, since we're in a toastful sense, our piersum is only private piersum, but turns out there is a public venue that can exist. Sure. So what do you guys think about that? Do you buy that?
It's fine, but it doesn't, we had before the idea of having piersum and mitzvah outside anyway.
But that's taken away. That's taken away because Shasakana. So now what? So now we're left with this defective, b'di'evet performance of the mitzvah. So now it turns out we have an avenue that we can use called shul. That's where this came up. This was invented as a mechanism of having a public lighting. No one has a problem with that? Okay. Yes. Okay, so but you're jumping. That's good. That's a great question. Except for you're jumping a step. In other words, you're assuming that Lion or Chanukah and Shul is doing what? Who said that's true? It doesn't. As you'll see, that's when you get to the halacha l'maisa stuff. It seems like that's not its purpose. Its purpose is to do what kind of lighting? So who's the chiyuv to do that? That's the problem. Who's chiyuv to light Ner Chanukah and Shul then? No, it's a chiyuv on the tzibur. It sounds like it's like the tzibur has an obligation to light Ner Chanukah. No. There's no chiyuv on a gavra. I'm not chayv to light Ner Chanukah in shul. I'm chayv to light Ner Chanukah at home, right? Yes.
Well, if we say that in times to come, right, you don't have the ability to be pursuing mitzvah by lighting inside, it's really just an opportunity for everyone wants to grab it, just to risk lighting the lights.
One more time.
According to the Rav, right, you don't have the ability to do pirsum and mitzvah.
He's going to say there's no pirsum at all to speak of.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you light it and show, you're just taking the risk and you are getting the mitzvah yourself.
What risk? I'm saying, what risk are you talking about?
The risk of lighting candles and time of sukkah.
No, but let's say the shul's all boarded up. There's no one can see inside. No one's going to know you're lighting inside.
But there's 10 people inside, right?
But there's Jews.
Ten Jews.
Yeah, hopefully they won't rat you out to the anti-Hanukkah police. You know what I mean? They're good Jews. They're the loyal kind. They're not going to go ahead and rat you out. Right. You have a question, Ali?
Oh, it seems fine that everyone already did the mitzvah of Laka and got their kiyam, that there would be another something.
You're right.
I'm
what? Oh, we'll get to the Rav in a second, because the Rav's got a different idea. The rub lines up with the gross idea.
You did your mice ad laka.
Right.
What's the, how can you compass for presuming he says?
Okay, good. Okay, hold on. I agree. Right. This I think the Rivash fits more in line with the Tosfos idea, which is the concept of maximizing Pirsum. We have a defective, so to speak, sort of Pirsum in our homes. So the Rus is trying. He's trying to, in a sense, show that it could be that treat shul is like a public makom, and then there's an idea of lighting there. But again, it gets very bizarre because who's the chova on? The tzibor, I guess so. And you'll see the ramifications of this halacha lemaisa, like, you know, the person who lights, it becomes a problem, it becomes a question. Yeah, I know. And there's another question too. Well, okay, we'll get to the practical question soon. But look at what the Gra says, okay? The Gra is amazing. And the Rav quotes his father about this, which is a very, very brilliant idea. And I think that the Rav is using part of his original svar to explain this. So the Gra says, in number 10, he says, Raya me halel belele psachim shenesakin alakos v'omer besa knesses mishum besumanisa. Okay. I know in the United States, I'm not sure in England, do you guys say halel on Leil Seder in shul?
No.
I know in America. I'm only in England.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, it's considered, all right, no one does it. Do other Spartans live in England?
Yeah.
Okay, they would say it.
I wouldn't know. I don't read the Spartans.
Exactly. Why not?
Why do I have reason to?
Oh, it's cool. David, tell him.
No.
Anyway, so in America, the normative Ashkenazic minhag in America is not to say Hallel in Shul Leil Seder, meaning that the first night of Pesach, you daven Maariv in Shul and you go home, and then you say Hallel at your Seder. But there are Beth Abraham, by the way, does do Hallel Leil Seder, and I know there are more and more shuls in America are doing this. In Eretz Yisrael, I can only speak for here. I know, like in my shul, which is Ashkenaz, they do Hallel on the first night. What about Mvo Charon? It's like the normal thing, right? Right. So okay. So now the Gra's telling you, why do we say Hallel B'tzibor on Leil Seder nights? Why do we do that in shul? So you say because of what? What Bishuminisa? Okay. So the Rav wants to take that idea. Now, so I want to take the Rav's concept of his bifurcation and apply it to here. So the Rav said before that there's two phenomena that exist in mitzvahs Ner Chanukah. One is that there's a general idea that I'm chayav to be madlik Ner Chanukah, right? I have to do a technical action. So if you hold Shas Sakana, I still have the light inside because I still have to do the technical performance. But what was the other idea he said? There's an idea of Pearson. Now, can I do that inside my house? No. But where can I do it? Oh. So it could be that the Rav likes this idea. It could be the Rav is going to hold, and it could be this way of learning is going to say like this. It's going to say that we see there's a precedent that exists in Halacha. One second. That exists in Halacha, which is that on Leil Seder, we say Hallel and Shul. Why? Why do we say Hallel and Shul? Because there's a chovah on the tzibor, right? There's an obligation on the congregation to publicize the miracle of Pesach. And how do we do that? We use Hallel. Hallel is a vehicle for Pirsum. As a raya, but how do we know that's true? It's obvious. I'll tell you why. Yeah. When the Rambam talks about Hilchas Chanukah, first of all, when the Gemara talks about Chanukah, it says, the 8 days of Chanukah, what are you chayav to do? What? First, in order to give Shabbat and Odah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then it mentions lighting candles. The Rambam has that formulation as well, and all of Hilchos Halal are found in Hilchos Chanukah. Okay? That, and that section is where you find all the ideas about Halal, all the halachas about Halal. Because you're thinking Pesuminisa means like telling the whole world. It doesn't have to mean that. It means that when the Am gets together, Tzibor is like the Am gets together to give Shevach and Odah to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's a public, what do you call it, publicizing of the miracle. Okay? What? Purim also, by Megillah. There's a kiyum to have Megillah but Tzibor. But the Megillah is instead of Halal. That's the whole point, because Megillah functions as a mechanism of Pirsum. When that story's read, right? It's a good question. Halal is like a different topic. We could talk about how halal functions that way. But in general, halal is considered as a vehicle for sumenisa. So too are Ner Chanukah. So what the Gra is telling you is that since you have a halachic precedent of an idea that the tzibor should be mefarsem nes, and I think the Rav, as I said before, the Rav holds that there's another idea of Ner Chanukah, that Ner Chanukah is a chefsa shel pirsum. So it could be that the idea of Lion Ner Chanukah and Shul is, it's not filling in a void that it can't do Pirsum. Rather, what is it? It's that the home is only to do the technical Maisa Halakha, and Shul is for what? Shul is for? What? For a Chesed Shul Pirsum. Okay? You can really have an idea of Pirsum and Issa exist in Shul. Okay? But again, the Rav insists that you need a minion. And in fact, Rav Chaim wanted to say that That's why you have to do, you have to light Ner Chanukah, right, before, let's say, Aleinu, at the very least. It has to be part of Tefillah, because once Aleinu hits, what happens to the status of the Tzibor? It's over. So it's always a Chovat Tzibor. You need to have it done by Tzibor. But the idea, though, is that, what the Gemara is telling you is that there's a precedent, there's a halachic idea that the Tzibor is responsible, so to speak, to produce this public publicizing of the miracle. Okay? So that's the difference between the Rivash and the Grah. The Rivash is saying that the Pearsum and Shul is making up for a certain defect, right? Whereas according to this way of learning the Grah is going to tell you that this is the vehicle of Pearsum, right? Because it's public, right? It's and the Tzibor's are obligated to do it. The problem is like this, right? That's like the conceptual basis for it. There's a couple fundamental problems though. Give me an example of one fundamental problem. I'm surprised you didn't ask this. So you jumped over this. But yeah, you have a question?
Answer the question of who deserves to light.
Okay, so one question is going to be, who the heck lights Ner Chanukah and Shul? That's one problem. Okay, and let's say, someone mentioned before, what if you already did the lighting? But in general, what happens today? Usually what happens today is that people haven't lit yet. No, you know why? But the reason why is because you go to Shul for Mincha, and most Shuls, what they do is, I say this carefully. Ideally, what should be done is that you daven mincha and shul close to shkia. Everyone goes home, lights, and then comes back from Arv. But that just doesn't work in our society, right? So what's done? Right before Marv. In other words, you daven mincha, and you don't want people to go home. You stay in shul. They light, and what the key point is, you light near Chanukah and shul before you've done what? Lit at home. Now you get a whole slew of halakhic problems. Okay, so one question is going to be, What is the person who lit? What does he do? Okay, but there's another problem though. Okay, which is what's really interesting, and no one seems to be bothered by this. Okay, what do you do if you guys have been to shul when they light near Chanukah, when the shots right? Why is that a problem? Two reasons why it's a problem. Okay, no. So one problem.
If it wasn't an actual mitzvah, then you shouldn't have light at home because you're filled with mitzvah.
Okay.
If it's not an actual mitzvah, then you can't do the bracha.
Yeah, so we don't like making brachas on minhag. Okay, so you'll argue halal. Okay, but it's a big question when you make a bracha on halal or not. So you have it. I'm being recorded here. Anyway, So one problem is no. People seem to ignore this problem, but. The shots when he lights near Chanukah, he says lahavdik and shas nisim, and then the first thing he'll say shechianu. So you have a general problem of this is like minug. So some want to say it should be no different than minug of saying bracha on halal. But what if you don't hold to say a bracha on halal by Rosh Chodesh? It's a big problem. It's a big question. Why do you make a bracha on this? That's one problem. The other problem is, are you yotzei your near Chanukah? Now I ask you guys, what do you think? Are you yotzei your near Chanukah if you light near Chanukah on shul? How could you be?
You guys said Phil's Pearson. I don't know why you said you wouldn't.
So I agree. No. Okay, but that's like a trick. Okay, that's a trick. Forget that for a second. But you're saying the bracha. You're saying, I'm saying bracha ta Hashem. Okay, Mechlam, Shaykh, 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 Shaykh. That's a big question. It's a big question how that works. I'm saying that's not such an easy thing. I agree. That's right. Right. That's the reason why. But this is not easy. It's not easy to understand the rationale. A, for how you can make a bracha on a minhag, and B, what exactly is happening when you make that bracha. In other words, it's a funny idea because you can't tell me there's a chiyuv on me to light Ner Chanukah, right? So what are you going to say, that I'm representing the tzibor when I do it? So when I say lahavdik ner, but it's a very nice idea to say there's some sort of chiyuv on the tzibor, but it's hard to understand how that generates an actual necessity of saying lahavdik ner. In my opinion, I'm just saying, you could, I'm not just saying, it seems like, why make a bracha on it? Just light your Chanukah and light the candle, that's it. But then you can argue, the question is, without a bracha, can it become an entity of Pearsum? Or is the bracha necessary to make an entity of Pearsum? Hold on, Momo, yeah.
I just
want to
ask, are we saying that you're the person that's lighting for the Shibor?
Let's say I am. Let's say it's me.
Then I would think that you're not, you already accomplished your mitzvah.
Ner Chanukah? But how? The only place to accomplish my Ner Chanukah is I need Ner Yishu Beso. But it's Ner Yishu Beso. It's not my house. There's no home here. It's not my bias. I'm chai to light at home. How can I fulfill my chiyuv that way? Just let you know, nobody holds you fulfilled your chiyuv Ner Chanukah lighting in shul, if you're the guy who lights. Yes.
What do you mean you had to say there is a Maisa and Mitzvah?
Of what?
Of Ner Chanukah and the shul.
I mean...
Or else why don't hang up banners? What are candles?
The problem is this. It's hard to say it's a Maisa Mitzvah because it started off as a minhag. The Gemara doesn't mention it. The Rambam doesn't mention it. So...
you mean there's no mitzvah here at all. We only do it because people started doing it. Now we can't stop.
I'm going to give it a little more strength to that. In other words, people started, like the Shibboleth, like it says, people started doing it, and I think both the Rivash and the Gra try to give halachic rationale for why it would make sense to do. What I'm trying to say is that those conceptual ideas may be very nice, but practically speaking, you run into some serious problems. One of them is, how do you make a halachic ner? How does that work? And no one seems to be bothered by that. It's taken as a given. You make a halachic ner. But why? It's a minog, and it's not your Maisa Mitzvah. It's not a Maisa Mitzvah. What? Can't be. Not. Okay, now if you want to say... Some want to say that, let's say Orchim lived there, okay? Which used to happen, they had guests there, and let's say they lived there. So then I can see that, and then maybe you're the Shleich, but today, how can you say today? Let me ask another question. Now, let's say you see the Ner Chanukah and you haven't lit yet. Do you make a Shas Anisim?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the guy who's lighting. The guy who lights does make a Shas Anisim. What about you? In Shul. I'm not talking about someone who lights in front of their house. That's a real Ner Chanukah. I'm talking about this pseudo Ner Chanukah. Did you make a Shas Anisim on it? Yeah, what would you say? Was your father feeding you?
No.
Yeah.
No. But if it's a minhag, then of course not.
I know, but the problem is that they try to... by the way, pardon me, agrees with you 100%. Like, it sounds like we've developed a very nice conceptual idea that has very, very negative halakha consequences. Very negative about consequences. So you're right. The easy way, easy solution out of it is to say, either, I know you want to say, don't do it, or...
It sounds like a different than if they decide to make a minhag and they're going to hang up a nice banner in school. They made that minhag, now we can't stop.
Right.
If it was any other minhag, it wouldn't stop either.
Except, but the only problem here is that everyone seems to maintain. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch openly says, he says, umalikin umivarchin, mishum pirsum anisa. They hold pirsum anisa as the mechayev to make a brach on it. But it's like a funny idea. It's very nice to say this is let's say the Ruzway. Like you're even though you don't have there's no chiv on you to light, right? But you're creating this piersum, it's divorced from your Maisa Halakha, but still, does that generate the necessity for a bracha? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so you could say that. In other words, but the question is, when you make the bracha, right, so what are you doing? Are you like the purely the representative of the tzibor, and there's no individual? You could say that. I thought that. You could say something like that. You could say that somehow when you make the bracha, you're not making the bracha as a gavra, you're making the bracha as like part of the, right, the representative of the tzibor. It could be. But it's still a funny idea. It's still not like, doesn't settle well. And then you have another question also, is that what does a guy do who makes a shechianu on it? That actually is a machlokas among the poskim. One second, Rob. Among the poskim, there's a machlokas about whether if he made a shechianu, because what do you make a shechianu for? You're making a shechianu because? Come on, you guys make a shechianu, right? What are you making a shechianu? Why do you make, what? First time. So they're saying, it's not because, in other words, this is the first time you've seen Ner Chanukah, right? You're engaged in Ner Chanukah, right? And there's some reality of being Ner Chanukah. So according to some, you wouldn't make a shechianu when you go home. Chacham Vajra holds you still do. Because if you say the Nier is a chefsa of Nier Shel Pirsum, and you see and you're involved in the mitzvah for the first time, that's it. You made a shechianu. Yes.
But who, I'm saying according to that, who says that the lighting that seeing it is a shechianu? You're making a shechianu on lighting it, and you didn't light it yet. The seaboard did, but you didn't.
Yeah, but then you're gonna run into a problem because every time you make a shechianu on the Maisa Halakha, which is tempting to say, I'm not disagreeing with you. You could say that. Problem with saying that is that then I would definitely not make a shechianu at home because I did the Maisa Halakha.
I
know it's nice to say that conceptually. You're right. In some conceptual sense, you didn't really do anything, you know. But you said then. And according to that, you shouldn't make the shechianu at all. Why make a shechianu? The tzibor did.
No,
it's a funny idea. I know what you're trying to say. I know. No, it's good. It's good. But it's like a weird concept.
In the realm of ideas.
Right. Exactly. It's like a platonic idea thing. So right. Hey. So what's the upshot here? Oh, sorry, Rob. You had a question.
This what brings in a case where you have to light twice. It's like your courtyard goes into has like two different openings.
Right, that's because of chashad.
What?
a concern. Like if someone walks by and they're going to see one place where you did light, another place where there's no candle, they're not going to realize that it's like the same house.
So, right, but which one do you make a brush on?
What do you mean?
Which do you make a brush on?
The first one. The first time. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, but you can't. Right, you're A, you're to your mitzvah. B, you could make a bracha again. You can make another bracha.
You wouldn't make a bracha in this case either.
Right, so you make one bracha. That's it. Right. So
you can still light again. I'm saying in that case. So why couldn't you light again here?
You mean light in shul?
Yeah.
If you're ready to go to your mitzvah, let's say you could, but you can't make a bracha on it though. If you're ready to make a bracha, it seems like why. The mechaber says everyone makes a bracha. Who's we? It's a good question. I don't know. I mean, the olam definitely makes a bracha on the Ner Chanukah in shul. But again, like I said, even if you want to come up, even if you want to derive a conceptual, which I think you can derive a beautiful conceptual concept, this, I think the halakha consequences, in my opinion, kind of outweigh, I'm not going quite far as what Rav Eli's saying, but it kind of outweighs to me, like the, you know, there's the halakha negative aspects of it kind of outweigh the conceptual beauty of it. But I know I'm saying this publicly, but thankfully not too publicly. It'd be like a riot if you took away lighting Ner Chanukah and Shul. And by the way, one thing, Ner Chanukah and Shul led to, what's the next step after Ner Chanukah and Shul? Well, I won't go that far, but what have people done? Right, public lightings. Public lightings come from this idea, because once you divorce Pearsum from the house, right, once you have this idea of having a mukam like a shul that you can do Pearsum, there's a lot of response brought down about, like, you know, you have a miss of a party or the kotel or like what Chabad does. They all base it on the concept of maximizing Pearsum because they've divorced it from the idea of the bias. Yeah.
I think our problem with this is that when we're looking at it, right, we're saying the Beit Knesset is public because there's 10 people there for a tzibur. But in the original context of the Gemara, you didn't need 10 people there to hear you make the bracha.
That's correct. Correct. Correct.
So if you were able to, you know, make your bracha outside with no one seeing it, and then maybe no one even going around by your house to even see the menorah and the chanukah, you still get the mitzvah, then really and truly you don't need to make a bracha and you can still get a public mitzvah out of it.
That's great, but again, here's the problem. The problem is this. If you don't make a bracha, then what have you done? Have you lit a candle or have you created a Ner Chanukah? That's
just
the question.
Like you did if you were outside.
But that's not a Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah has a certain structure to the mitzvah. There's a certain form, you know, a certain way it's designed. Yeah.
So this isn't a complete star, and it's very. One thing you could say though is that reason. I mean, when you light a shul, the reason you have to make a bracha in the first place is because it says the mitzvah al bais, the mitzvah on the house. Now, even though the shul is not the house itself, we still say it's all building, you know, for a separate entity. So when you light there, it's not. It's
no, it can't be, because then they would say if a guy's walking in the field, he should make a. You should.
No, because that's not an enclosed.
But that's a, but Beisul means there's some bias, there's some relationship I have with the bias, yeah.
According to the Gra, that he compares it to the Seder.
Yeah.
That's not to make up for Sume.
No.
Right.
Right, that's only according to Tosfos.
Right now, everything you're saying is not
according to the Gra. Correct. The Gra is going to hold what? The Gra is going to hold that there's a separate Chiyuv on the Tzibor to do Pearson, okay? But that now he's using the idea of Halal makes sense, right? Because Halal, you say Halal. Halal normally is done by tzibur, right? So you say halal seder night. He's saying because of that idea, you also say it by tzibur. The problem is that how does that work by Ner Chanukah? It's very nice to say that. He's saying there's a halachic precedent. Just like by Pesach, we do that. We have the same tzibur obligation to light Ner Chanukah and shul, right? But you're still going to run into the same problem. What's the bracha going on? Even according to the Gra, it's a problem. What are you saying lahalik ner for? For that chiyuv?
Yeah.
That's a funny idea. What are you lighting? What's the Ner Chanukah you're lighting? Is it a Ner? It's a Ner what? It's a new phenomenon of Ner?
Yeah.
And the Gra still has to tackle with another problem, which is that which is that it's a Minog. How do you make a Bracha on it? How do you make a Bracha on it? Just saying, it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. I don't know. So what do we see from this, okay? One of the main points I want to get across is like this. When you see a Minog, okay, it's tempting. Unfortunately, a lot of times we're tempted to look at a minhag as like a ceremonial type of thing, or symbolic. That's a word that carries a lot of weight with it, symbolic, okay? But as B'nai Yisrael, we are Am Chacham Anavon, and we're obligated, when we see halachic practice take place, to analyze it, to understand what's the basis for the phenomenon, not just to say it's a custom, right? Minhag has a halachic force to it. So here's a good example of minhag comes into existence. Originally, it seems like very opposed to it, right? But you have certain, the Rivash or the Gra, that come along and they try to give a conceptual rationale for why this minhag could make sense. And I think the conceptual reason is very nice. But a lot of the response will come up and deal with some of the halachic consequences of such a minhag. So it's very important, and this is something we try to emphasize here, that when you guys look at halachic practice, you should always analyze it. You should look at it and say, has this fit into the halachic system? Does it fit in? What's the conceptual basis for it? What are the halachic pros, so to speak, and cons as a result of it? And this way you can really get a sense of the beauty of the halachic system. That was like my epilogue, like my conclusion. I don't know if I can take another question. No, go ahead. What's your question?
I didn't answer right here, bro.
I don't know. It's a great question. I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, in other words, what they all say is that he says, everyone says it's because of Pirsum and Issa, right? But the question is that when they say it's because of Pirsum and Issa,